Welcome back. For Hudson Mohawk Magazine, I'm Alexis Goldsmith, and this is part two of our coverage of the public hearing for the Climate and Community Protection Act, which took place in Albany on February 12th. It was one of three public hearings on the bill. There was a second one on Long Island and another in Manhattan, and I would just like to note that there is archived footage of all three hearings available at nysenate.gov. So the first public hearing that took place in Albany was led by New York State Senator Todd Kominsky, who is the chair of the Environmental Conservation Committee. This hearing had 38 witnesses and lasted nearly 5 hours, and the goal of this series is to present and make accessible the different arguments that were made about this bill and to get a sense of who is lobbying this bill and what they are lobbying for. So in this segment, we're going to hear from two witnesses, Greg Birla, who is the New York State Director for the National Federation of Independent Business, and Michael Cracker of Unshackle Upstate.
My name is Greg Birla, New York State Director and for NFIB, the nation's and the state's leading small business advocacy association. NFIB is a member-driven organization representing close to 300,000 small businesses across this country and more than 10,000 here in New York. NFIB members are the businesses that define our neighborhoods and imbue our communities with character and value. Local hardware stores, independent restaurants, florists and barbers, roofers, landscapers and mechanics, fitness and retail boutiques, these are NFIB members. Small businesses employ nearly half the state's workforce, 4 million New Yorkers. When they succeed, communities succeed. A strong, vibrant small business ecosystem supports local tax bases, governments, and schools. 67 cents of every dollar spent at a local small business is reinvested into the community. It's important to keep small businesses and their employees in mind when considering legislation with far-reaching impact, such as the Climate and Community Protection Act. Like this bill's sponsors, NFIB supports efforts to reduce greenhouse gas, protect our environment, preserve New York's natural assets, and responsibly transition to sustainable energy sources. But New York must also be mindful of unintended economic consequences, particularly for small businesses. Small businesses depend on energy supplies at globally competitive prices to operate and run their businesses. It should be noted that New York ratepayers pay the eighth highest energy electricity costs in the nation, according to the United States Energy Information Administration. Small businesses rely on affordable energy options for all aspects of their business operations: vehicles, transportation and shipping, heating, cooling, operating energy-intensive equipment. When these necessary business costs increase, small businesses are forced to deal with a menu of bad options: adjusting labor cost, putting off capital investment, and increasing prices on consumers. Our members welcome energy options from every and any source, as long as it's affordable and reliable. That brings up a primary concern regarding the Climate and Community Protection Act: its potential impact on costs for small businesses. Also of concern, as was previously mentioned, is its apparent reliance on assumed future technological advancement to achieve its mandatory reductions. While a new tax is not specifically required in this bill's language, a direct tax on carbon-based energy sources is permitted if not encouraged. The bill contemplates and considers terms and actions throughout its language that raise concerns for small businesses. Terms like market-based compliance mechanism, imposition of fees per unit of carbon dioxide, imposition of emission caps. A 2018 survey asked NFIB members in New York what they thought, as small business owners, about taxing carbon-based energy production, transmission, distribution, and or use in New York as a means of addressing environmental concerns. 87% came back opposed, 7% supported, 6% were undecided. This is not a reflection of small businesses' indifference to climate change or its commitment to addressing it, but rather that economic impacts to those actually investing and hiring in New York's economy must be understood and valued in coordination with environmental goals. This is an appropriate moment to acknowledge and offer our organization support for language in this bill that requires the state, in its development of a scoping plan, to take into account the relative contribution of sources of greenhouse gas emissions and the potential for adverse effects on small businesses, and recommend a de minimis threshold below which reduction requirements will not apply. We do appreciate this acknowledgement for the importance of small business. We would also like to note that when energy costs and taxes increase, they are often very regressive in nature, regressive for individuals, communities, and businesses who can least afford them. Increased energy costs caused by new taxes or other means of disincentivizing more cost-effective and accessible options can be least afforded by individuals at the lower end of the economic scale or by businesses at the lower end of the industrial scale. Efforts to contain the cost impacts of this bill from affecting those that can absorb at least are ambiguous. Increases in energy costs anywhere in the economy will ultimately be felt across the economy by every employer and felt most by the members of NFIB.
Sure. So a question I have right off the bat is I feel like there's a time horizon issue where you're representing the current folks who make up your organization, very important small businesses throughout our state, but there's also a whole burgeoning industry out there waiting for small business if they want to embrace a green economy. And New York has a choice to be a first mover or one of the first movers and help develop that and help be builders and distributors and innovators, or have someone else do that and we're kind of, you know, trying to piggyback or have to purchase or export from that. Or export our labor from that. So in wondering about the constraints about that issue, we're not thinking about the future potential benefits that small businesses 5 years from now that someone who's a junior in college or leaving the military is thinking about in their head could be the people you'd be representing in 5 years, very happy that we're making this transition.
I would offer, why can't we be both? And NFIB represents probably the broadest swath of businesses of any business organization, so we try not to favor any one industry over another. And nowhere in our testimony did we disagree with incentivizing research and development, continuing the great work of NYSERDA, and attracting the energy future economy into this state. But do we have to do it at the expense of existing employers? And there are a whole lot of businesses in this state, and they don't have an environmental agenda, they don't have a political agenda, but when their energy cost goes up, they're left with tough choices. And small businesses are the backbone of our economy. And any time that we can try to consider the differing impacts on small employers and inject that sort of perspective into lawmaking, the entire state benefits.
And now we have from Unshackle Upstate, Michael Cracker, to be followed by Daniel Gage from Natural Gas Vehicles for America. We're really happy to be joined by the Senate's Energy Chair, Kevin Parker, and our Agricultural Chair, Senator Jen Metzger.
New York State leads the nation in out-migration, with the bulk of that population loss occurring in upstate New York. If enacted, this legislation would provide further incentive for businesses and individuals to leave upstate. At particular risk are upstate's manufacturing and agriculture businesses. These energy-intensive industries represent much of upstate's private sector economy. Imposing increased emission standards on these industries will most certainly put these businesses at a greater economic disadvantage. In order to comply with these greenhouse gas emission reduction mandates, companies will have two options: produce less or pay more for their energy. Neither of these options are viable, especially in energy-intensive industries, and many will consider moving to other states that do not have such mandates. This legislation would also increase the cost on individual ratepayers. The initial cost of this legislation could be in the hundreds of dollars per household, with further increases as the reduction emission mandates grow over time. This measure would be, in effect, a regressive tax that would hinder economic growth in the state. In particular, individuals on fixed incomes, including New York's 3 million seniors, would face tremendous difficulty keeping up with these increased costs. New York State is already taking significant steps to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. New York's Reforming the Energy Vision strategy is intended to spur clean energy innovation, promoting more efficient use of energy, and expanding renewables. The state energy plan has set a vision that includes greenhouse gas reduction and expansion of renewable energy and generation and use within the state. New York also participates in the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, a market-based effort to reduce greenhouse gas emissions among northeastern and mid-Atlantic states via a cap-and-trade program. In contrast to command and control mandates such as this one, the REV proceeding and cap-and-trade programs are more economically efficient. Unshackle Upstate and our partners fully support efforts to increase the role of renewable energy in our portfolio and reduce our carbon emissions. We must consider, however, the impact this legislation will have on an already struggling upstate economy. We urge the members of this committee to take the time to study potential economic costs of this legislation and work with stakeholders, including the business community, on solutions to reduce our impact on the environment while still fostering economic growth. For these reasons, Unshackle Upstate opposes this legislation, and I thank the committee for taking the time to hear our testimony today.
I'd like to call on Senator Harkin for a question.
I don't mean to sound glib, but it's almost like whenever there's an environmental law proposed, certain business groups pushback, oh, this is going to drive up costs by hundreds of dollars. Seniors are going to flee their homes. And I'm not saying you said that, but you made some intimation mm-hmm. of that. Can you quantify how this bill is going to drive up costs for ratepayers and for seniors on fixed incomes?
I think it's different for different folks and in different communities, but it's about capacity. It's about the cost of electricity, cost per kilowatt. So, it would fluctuate based off of where you are in the state, but given the increased mandates and whether or not we have renewable sources to supplant the fossil fuel emissions is going to drive up costs.
Are there specific counties that you're concerned about not having enough sustainable energy lined up, and have you either talked to the PSC, NYSERDA, or looked at the state energy plan for any indication about how much generation you need and what's lined up to be rolled out between now and 2050?
I have not personally. From our perspective, it's a concern of, is the technology going to be available to get to zero and still provide a reliable energy grid for our upstate businesses and our upstate ratepayers? So at this point, we're not certain that capacity exists. Will the capacity get there by the time these mandates take effect is a variable that we don't have a clear answer to.
Now, have you considered the job creation potential of renewable energy, not just renewable energy investment, and you're focused on renewable energy, but this is also about energy efficiency. These are incredibly labor-intensive industries that create jobs, so I'd like to know if your organization has considered that.
Sure.
And also considered, again, this isn't just about renewable energy, it's about becoming more efficient, reducing use, which is something that I think would greatly serve the businesses of New York. So maybe you could speak to...
I think that there's tremendous opportunities in this industry for job creation, whether it's in the manufacturing or in the build-out of a solar farm or wind technology. And our members are... Some of our members probably include some of those businesses and will benefit from the opportunities that those businesses present to their chambers of commerce. So... We're fully on board with increasing the role that this has in not only our energy grid, but also creating jobs and bringing new industries to our community. We're just concerned about potential costs to existing businesses that are already paying significantly high utility bills.
So from these two witnesses, there is a lot of concern about how the emission mandates in the CCPA will affect small businesses and individuals on the lower end of the income scale. NIFB and Unshackle Upstate both seem to support climate legislation, but they want ambiguous protections for small businesses and individuals to be more defined in the CCPA. You can read the proposed Climate and Community Protection Act and watch the public hearing in full at nysenate.gov. And if you have an opinion that you want to add, the Senate allows 120 days for the submission of public comment. So in our upcoming segments, we're going to hear the testimonies of gas and petroleum lobbyists, plus those that say the bill doesn't go far enough to consider resources and methods of carbon reduction that are already available to New York.